Well, we are, we're about a half hour from doing something here we've never done before, and so hopefully all the technology is in place to have it happen. A friend of mine from Jacksonville, Florida, a pastor named Sean Killingsworth, will be communicating to us through the internet. So we have a guest speaker, and Sean's really got a great heart, and I really appreciate and love him. And we've never met in person, but probably have talked on the phone and through video conferencing probably 10, 15 times over the last 3 years. So
more than that.
Or more than that, yeah.
It's way more than that.
You're from Jacksonville. Okay, well, there you go. There's a little connection there.
I have family there.
But right now we're going to worship the Lord and just get our hearts prepared to just receive everything he has for us this morning. I'm sure some of you have come this morning already prepared, but there's something about worship, there's something about Thanksgiving that just opens things up. And so as I always do, I just encourage you to have a thankful, joyful, exuberant heart, grateful heart towards the Lord this morning. If you're not like one that just sings, you know, loud, just make sure that you're maybe doing something to express your love to God. Maybe just raise a hand or just stand. It doesn't take a lot to connect with him. It's just a matter of turning our focus and our attention and our gaze and our thoughts and our hearts towards him. So Lord, we do. We turn our hearts and our thoughts. We fix them on you this morning. Lord, you're the one that is the author and the finisher of our faith. And so we turn to you, Lord, the one that's written our book, the one that is the author of who we are. And we thank you, Lord, that you are our God and we are your people. We are your children, Lord, and you are our Father. And Lord, I pray today that any obstacles, any barriers, Lord, that has worked its way into that relationship, Lord, would be broken.
Yes.
That chains would come off people's thoughts and minds and hearts today that have been entrapped maybe with the enemy's lies. Lord, you are worthy. You are holy. You are holy, Lord.
The earth is filled with Bless the Lord, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day. It's time to sing Your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord.
Spoke the earth into motion.
soul now to stand.
Practicing this song this morning, it didn't resonate with me until now. I am currently unemployed because my client that I had as a caregiver decided to go to California because that's where he figures him and his wife will be happier. And it's a good thing because it was a pretty stressful job. But now I'm unemployed, and it's like, and I don't qualify for unemployment. And so now it's like, okay, Lord, what? And me and Hope were having a conversation about a song this weekend, you know, where the devil doesn't define us. And it made me think about that my job, I've always defined myself by being a caregiver, by doing what I do, because I know the Lord put me there. And now I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Am I supposed to continue pursuing caregiving or do something different? And I'm not hearing anything from him yet, so I don't know if that means keep going or wait. But I know that I can't afford to wait, but I know that he's got us. And I know that he'll cover us with everything that we need. So, and this song this morning just started resonating with me that I'm not doing that. I'm not raising my hands and praising him and thanking him and worshiping him. I'm worrying. So I'm encouraging anybody who's feeling that way. You're not alone in that, because we're human. And the hardest thing to do is to raise our hands and worship when we're in a stasis of what now. And there's a saying that says, when all the doors are closed, there's a window opened. And I haven't seen that window be opened. And it says to praise the Lord in the hallway anyway. So I just need y'all's prayers that I continue to remember to praise him in this hallway while I wait for something to open.
Father, we just right now come before your throne of grace, Lord, as a family, Lord, for our sister. Lord, we knit our hearts together, Lord, with this need, Lord, of a job. Lord, you know, Lord, what the future holds for Vicki and her family, Lord. So right now, we just agree with your perfect plan. We agree with your will to be done. And we agree, Lord, that she will be able to keep a joyful heart, Lord, even during this trying time. Lord, let her see, God, the beauty around her every single day. Let her, Lord, be thankful, Lord, for all of the what seems to be the normalness of life, Lord, but all the beauty that's in her life that's from you, all the blessings. And we just bless that family right now, Lord. We ask that you would meet all of their needs according to your riches of glory. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
let's join with the angels right now.
We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah.
In our hearts and in our lives, Lord. We sing hallelujah, Lord, to the fact that you are the Lamb that was slain from the foundations of the earth, and that your blood has redeemed and bought us back and purchased us and has set us on a course, Lord, for eternity in your glory. We thank you, Jesus, that you have defeated death, hell, and the grave. And because of that, Lord, we have the victory. We are more than conquerors, Lord. And we receive that into our hearts afresh today in Jesus' name. Let's sing hallelujah.
We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah.
I think I've mentioned that my private time study has been in 1 and 2 Kings, and Just went into 2 Kings and chapter 6 actually is a portion of scripture that has really meant a lot to me over the years because of the way that God let me see it. And it's particularly ironic that that's what it's talking about is the vision, the sight, what people are looking at. And it's talking about Elisha and Elisha having a servant and him being overcome because the hills are full of the other team, the enemy. And they've got horses and they've got, you know, warriors and they have chariots and they have everything. And the servant's panicking at this point because he's like, you know, what are we going to do? So he goes into Elisha and he says to Elisha, you know, hey, there's a lot of guys out there. And what I love about Elisha is he's not the typical leader that tries to fix something. He's not the typical leader that wants to have the right answer. All he says is to this servant is, I'm trying to remember the words that he actually used. Vicky, do you mind bringing me my iPad, please, honey? Oh, yes. Those that are with us are more than those that are out there against us. And the servant's looking at him like, okay, that's kind of weird. And then instead of trying to fix it again, Elisha just doesn't even pay attention to the servant. He begins to pray, God, open his eyes that he'd see, that he'd be able to see. And God answered his prayer for the servant, and his eyes were open, and he was able to see the hillside full of chariots and fire, and the warriors were all around that just covered all of the other team, Elisha and his servant. And so, as I've been studying that this week, I got to thinking about how easily my vision is captured by what I see, instead of what I know and what God sees. And so as I was thinking about all of that, I started thinking to myself, God, I need to be more like that. I need to pray more and say, God, open my eyes to see what you see. Like, because I could just totally, completely be looking at the problem, the argument, the mean coworker. I can be looking at the circumstance when God wants me to open my eyes and see maybe the worker is lost and they need Jesus. And, you know, maybe there's an angel standing around them that is protecting them from horrendous things. God, open my eyes that I can see, really see. And what was very interesting is something that this one leader said, and I want to study this out a little bit more, is that, you know, there's the natural realm and then there's the spiritual realm, which all of us knows, but it's all right here. Like the chariots and the army for God was all right there. He just didn't see him until Elisha prayed. God opened his eyes. God's right there, guys. He's right there. All we have to see is, God, open our eyes. Just open our eyes that we can see you and know you're working and know that we're not alone. How many times have we felt alone? But God is with us, and he's promised what? Never to leave us or forsake us. And in that, wow, it opened up so wide, so big for me this week in knowing. Our little precious Tessa is here. And God has reminded me, this is the little girl that was so sick in the hospital for days and days and days. And we prayed over her, and 3 hours later, she left and went home. Like, and she had been in from Saturday to Thursday, was it, Teresa? And God healed that baby right there. She's right here, guys. I mean, what a miracle. What an answer to prayer. And God wants to remind us. And there's answers to prayer all around. We just have to open our eyes. So with that being said, my husband is up there, and he's getting ready to do whatever he's going to do.
So I'm trying to get you on. So this is an echo problem. It's going to be a delay. Yeah. So this is Sean Killingsworth. Oh, there's not. He's not. Hang on a second, Sean. There you go. Let me make sure. I'm going to mute me for just a moment. Hang on. Okay, so I'm going to introduce you not through this because we're getting echo. And once you're done, then I'll try to communicate. But can you kill me when?
Alrighty, hi everyone. Again, my name is Sean Killingsworth, and Mike and I met on a Mike Parsons call probably more than a year ago, and he just reached out to me after one of the meetings and just asked for to do a hangout, and ever since then we've just kind of connected every several months and just touch base with what God's doing with you guys there and with us here and just personally and just in general what God's doing today. And so it's been an honor and a pleasure to get to know him, and even today is definitely a first fruit for me to get to share with every one of you there and just about what God's doing. And the one thing that Mike had asked me to kind of share was keeping a yes in our heart. And I'm going to back up a little bit and probably just give you guys a little bit of my testimony of what God's done in me and with me over probably since about 2009. I would say that a lot of this journey, obviously our journey is connected. You know, it's all connected. So I'm just going to pick a starting point that kind of makes sense to me, a good starting point for you guys to kind of get to know me and where I'm coming from and a little bit of what God's been doing with me. And, so back in, 2009, we had a Christian bookstore here, and I was in a place of just kind of like, Lord, I've heard enough messages to last me the rest of my life. And, I've just heard enough, and I don't know what it is I'm looking for or that I'm wanting to hear, but I know there's something else that I'm not getting to hear. There's something else that I'm looking for. And probably about the fall, the end of 2009, I got to hear some of Ian Clayton's messages of just about living out of heaven, going into heaven, and just what I would call the sonship message. And when I heard that, I just started weeping and just knew that that was what I was waiting to hear, and just thankful that I had ears to hear and that I was getting to hear it. And then just, excited to begin to discover what that is or what that was. And, a vision that I had, I think it was, somewhere a little before that, I want to say in the same year, one afternoon in the bookstore, the entrance of the bookstore faced west. So, you know, a lot of times we would just enjoy the sunsets in the evening. And this one particular afternoon I was there just enjoying the sunset. And as I was standing there, I started to have a vision. And in the vision, I was on the edge of this jungle, and I knew that I was coming out of this jungle. And in front of me was this golden cityscape. And I just knew by the Spirit that I had just gone through a season of going to all of the tribes, you know, within the body of Christ, like the Torontos, Bethels, Morning Star, just all of the different prophetic ministries that were out there. Because I was raised in a Baptist background, and then I was out in the world, and then I came back into the church in an Assemblies of God setting. And so, which is typical for most denominations, is to stay within the denomination. So you never really get to hear a whole lot about what God is doing in other parts of the body. And so the Lord had been doing that in me for from about 2006 to 2009, just exposing me to a lot of different things that he was doing in the body, and just giving me a fuller picture of what he's doing with the body of Christ in the earth. And so so this vision, I knew that God was showing me that I was coming out of that season of going to all those tribes, of gleaning the truth that he wanted me to glean from each specific ministry and tribe. And then I heard him say, as I was looking at this golden cityscape, he said, "Now come and explore the kingdom." And so, you know, I didn't know what that meant. I was like, okay, that sounds good, Lord. And I'm up for that. And so, you know, so from that point forward, I would say that's just where I began to, not even that I had a language yet for keeping a yes in my heart, but you know, if that would be a good starting point probably for what I'm sharing today with you all there, that, Father God was giving me an invitation, and I knew by the Spirit that was him. And I didn't know what it looks like. And even today, I'm 7, 6, 7, 8 years in, and, you know, I still don't fully know what it looks like. But I know that over this last, 7, 8 years, that I've just learned how to discern. You know, we've all been given the Spirit of truth. And so, inevitably, as you begin to walk this out with him, and you know, whatever that looks like in your own personal life, and then there corporately with the body of people that God is gathering together there where you guys are at, you and I really don't know what it's going to look like. And so that's why, obviously, you know, we walk by faith, and faith doesn't a lot of times have the vision to see where we're going or what it looks like. And it's just, we know by faith that this is the direction, this is the word that Father's given to us. And so, a really great scripture, for me in the beginning of all of this was, Mark 9:23. And it's kind of, it's one of the scriptures that was, an inspiration for the name of the ministry, the ecclesia, the body of people here in Jacksonville, Florida, is called All Things Restored. And so in the scripture, in Mark 9:23, Jesus is asking a question. And he said, "If you can believe, all things are possible for those who believe." And as I began to realize that God was giving us an invitation to explore the kingdom, to come and to find out what it means to, you know, we know scripturally that we're seated in heavenly places, but you know, I don't know. I had never really heard of anyone teaching or sharing what exactly that looks like. Where are those places? What do I do there? How do I get there? And just all of the questions that would come up if you really started to meditate on that scripture. I'm seated in heavenly places. And, you know, just the list of questions that will begin to come to someone that actually begins to set their heart and mind on that verse. So in that scripture, Jesus asked, if we can believe, if you can believe, all things are possible for those who believe. So then for me, the next progression of that, that pondering in my heart was, you know, Lord, what are all things? Because if all things are possible, and in Acts 3, the restoration of all things, if all things are going to be restored, then I want to know what those things are so that I can begin to know what to believe for. And so that was kind of the progression for me in the beginning of, you know, okay, God, I know that you want to restore all things. And so I want to find out what those things are so that I can begin to come into agreement with you and even co-labor with you in the restoration of those things. So this yes in our heart thing, it's really become a mantra, so to speak. It's something that even Mike commented one of the last times that we spoke about, you know, of the messages that he's listened to, I think he said he's heard me say it just about every time he's listened to one. And it does seem to be something that I say quite often, because the only way for you and I to continue this journey, as we manifest as sons of God, the only one important key to me is that we keep that yes in our heart. And so what that looks like again is, so, all right, so you get a revelation, God speaks to you, gives you a dream, an encounter. And I challenge the people here all the time with this. You know, we would say that God is infinite. He's unfathomable. Just all of the expressions that we have to describe him. So one of the ways that I challenge people is, well, he has so many mysteries, so many things that he could reveal to you and I, that what are you going to do when he speaks something to you that you've never heard another person say? You know, you've never heard another pastor or leader in the church say anything like this. But Father God just dropped this mystery on you, you know, whatever it might be about. And so are you going to have the relationship with him, the confidence and the boldness to steward that mystery that he just gave to you, or out of insecurity and just not having that strong, confident relationship with him, is the enemy going to be able to come and rob you of that seed, of that mystery that God is sowing into you because of, you know, you're not in a place yet of knowing God that intimately, that confidently, that boldly. It's like Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. So how well do you know that voice? And so again, that's been one of the challenges that I always present to people as I'm sharing different things is, you know, do you have that kind of relationship that when God does bring a mystery to you or reveals a mystery that you've never heard another person say, and you know, what are you going to do with that? Are you going to doubt it? Are you going to go down that, oh, who am I, unworthy? You know, just all of what I would call familiar spirits that we are, all of us, susceptible to, and even still probably are needing to overcome some of those familiar spirits in our life. So the progression is keeping this yes in my heart is, so Father God reveals something to me, and so I'm going to sit on that for a while. I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to inquire him about it. And then I'm going to look for it in the scriptures. And I might even, you know, dialogue or ask a few of my close friends, like, hey, what do you think about this? Has the Lord ever given you anything like that? But at some point I'm going to discern by the Spirit that that's him. And I mean, I already thought it was him in the beginning, but now I'm really going to discern if that's something that he has for me. And then once I discern that that's him, then I just took the leap of faith. I just jumped. I just took off, and I'm not going to look back, and I'm going to run into that, and I'm going to discover what that's about. And so part of this, as you guys are getting more and more exposure to, again, what I call the message of sonship, is you know, many hidden things are being revealed. There's many mysteries that are being revealed to those that are hungry, to those that are seeking. And, you know, those that have ears to hear and eyes to see are going to come into the reality of these things. And so, you know, I realized several years ago that with everything that God does, he releases, you know, it says in Revelation that his sound was like the sound of many waters or a trumpet. So it's just his voice is booming and filled with all these sounds. Well, his voice and the sound of his voice and the truth that is resonating within that sound is being released into creation. So all of creation is hearing, you know, all of creation is receiving the sound of his voice. And that's why we see, you know, people in the occult or the secular world or unsaved. It's like they're actually receiving these things and then it goes through their own filters. And that's how things get perverted and twisted by what God's doing in the days that we're in. And so there's a lot of, even now there's several things that I could throw out there that I can already see the perversion beginning to happen with different things that God's been speaking about. So for one, it's encouraging to me to see that we're right there on the fringe. We're right there, you know, on the edge of what he's doing and just letting him lead, guide, and direct us into what this looks like. So one really awesome book that I think I've shared this book with Mike. I'm sure I have. It's by James Mahoney and it's called Ladies of Gold. And early on back in like 2012 is when All Things Restored started. And it was about a year into it that the Lord gave us that book as he used that book kind of as a confirmation to kind of what it looks like just to kind of give us maybe a little like a progression of how things will unfold. And so as we've, and we've seen that here in the, with the people here locally in the ecclesia here of just how things are opening up to them concerning the things of the spirit and the realm of the kingdom. And, here's a great example. There's a lady here named Wendy and I love sharing her testimony because it blesses me to see the fruit of just of what's manifesting in her life of the kingdom and just her encountering the things of the kingdom with Father and just all that he has for her. So Wendy found All Things Restored maybe like 2 years ago, a year and a half to 2 years ago. And she was at a Cat Kerr meeting and she was at a Cat Kerr meeting and got directions or something to our Saturday night gathering. And so she showed up and then every Saturday she continued to come for like almost a year and a half, like for a long time. She was like a little child sitting on the edge of her seat, just hearing the things that we're talking about, like believing it's true, believing it's real, but not seeing, not encountering anything and not, you know, and what, I mean, it just blesses me because she didn't give up. She didn't get frustrated. She just kept persevering and just coming week in and week out, just believing and waiting on Father God, just to begin to, these things to begin to open up in her life. So last spring we did what we called them Destiny Scroll sessions. And our thought was to, you know, just ask Father God to release people's destiny scrolls to them if they weren't aware of them, if they didn't know if they had received them or so that was kind of the gist of what we were doing. And as we began to do these prayer sessions with people, we what would happen is God has connected us with a local prayer counselor here and she's part of our leadership team now and she's a total godsend. She's tracking with all the revelation of the courts and just all the things that God's doing today. And so with her, we started doing these prayer sessions with the core group of people that's here locally. And so as we begin to do them, you know, she'll, the way that she ministers or yeah, the way that she ministers to someone is she'll just have them just engage in their imagination gate and begin to, you know, if it's a beach or out in the mountains or something like that, just somewhere in the earth, you know, they're just what you would call their safe space or whatever. And so, and then we asked Jesus to come. And so Jesus would come, and this happened literally to every person except for one. And so with every person, Jesus would come and he would minister to them, you know, just something to do with the soul, just some generational stuff, family stuff, wounds, whatever, just whatever was on his agenda for them personally. And so he would come and he would deal with those places and bring healing and deliverance for them. And then every one of them, he took and introduced them to the Father. And so Wendy was one of these people. And so God came, you know, Jesus came and just dealt with a lot of family, generational things that was still, what we realized is these things were keeping her earthbound, and they were kind of resisting and they were a major hindrance for her to be able to ascend and to just encounter the things of the Spirit that Father has for her to encounter. So Jesus came and dealt with that stuff. And like within a week, Jesus showed up as the eagle, and then she went off on this crazy adventure with him in the Spirit. And ever since then, it's just been, you know, week after week, just finding out what has Wendy been encountering this week and what has God been doing. And again, for me, that is, that's what brings me the greatest encouragement, because that's the fruit that I'm looking for, is for people that are coming, you know, cause I realize that what we're speaking about, what we're talking about is untraditional, unorthodox. You know, you're probably not going to hear very little of this in the church, in the traditional church setting at all. So when somebody comes in, I've realized that even me personally, and here's an example in my own life, is there's a place in the Spirit, and there's a place for you to encounter. It's called the Seat of Rest. And I don't know if you guys have heard about it or if Mike shared about it or not. So, but there's a place in the Spirit called the Seat of Rest. And on that Seat of Rest is, you know, when you ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, then he comes and sits in that seat. And as we manifest as sons, there's two functions. Well, there's many functions, but two of the ones that I'll just share right now would be lordship, which lordship is us learning how to, the way I like to define or, define lordship is I'm learning how to live out of my spirit, to govern my soul, and to steward my body. So the lordship part is the governing of the soul. So basically what I hope and believe that many of you will encounter in the days to come as you continue to keep a yes in your heart and continue to walk this out with him, that you will, you're going to find at some point that Jesus is going to stand up from that seat of rest, and he's going to offer that to you. And for you out of, you know, now that you're in a place of maturity, you understand what it, you know, you have a measure of understanding of what it means to be spirit. And Hebrews 4 is a crucial scripture. You know, the one that gets thrown around all the time is, you know, his word is sharper than a two-edged sword, separating spirit and soul and the rest of the description in that scripture. But when you and I can realize that separation of spirit and soul, then we will be able to come into that place of lordship that Father has for us to come into. And so you have lordship and kingship. So the seat of rest. So I had heard about the seat of rest thing. So I listened to an Ian Clayton teaching, I listened to the whole teaching is like 40, 45 minutes or something. So I narrowed it down to a 20-minute section of this teaching. And that's all I listened to for 2 or 3 months. At least 2 months. And whenever I would listen to something, I would just listen to that 20-minute part of that teaching. And what he said in there was basically what I'm going to share with you in 45 minutes or an hour. I can't remember exactly what he said. I'm going to share with you in 45 minutes what it's taken me 8 years to come into. So you and I need to realize that a lot of this coming into the kingdom, living out of the kingdom, manifesting as a son, whenever we hear someone teaching or we hear a new revelation about something, we're really going to have to take the time to just sit and listen to it so that we can come into it, so that the substance and the reality of what we're hearing, we can begin to come into that. And so it's true for any one of us, you know, that it's going to take that constant hearing it over and over and over. And then at some point, you know, we'll begin to come into the reality of that. Another example from my life is, you know, when God was first waking me up to these things, I wasn't seeing in the spirit. I had never seen an angel. I had never seen a chancellor, an elder, or whatever. I'd never seen anything in the spirit. And I had one encounter at the Assembly of God Church way back when, where I knew it was an angel, and I felt the wind of the angel move between me and another gentleman that I was praying for. And that could probably be the only angelic encounter that I probably would say that I've had in all of my time at the AG church. So, you know, like many people, you know, that for whatever reason, I believe there's many reasons that we don't see in the spirit. But so I just began to hear, you know, people talking about encountering angels and cloud of witnesses, just all the stuff that, you know, for the ones that we can encounter in the realm of the kingdom. And I'm like, okay, well, I believed that they're here now. You know, I think many of you would say that right now. It's like you believe that there's angels around right now. There's heavenly hosts that are around even now. And so why am I not aware of them? Why am I not discerning, you know, their presence? And so I just began to, every day, I would just acknowledge their presence. I would acknowledge that Father has sent them either to minister to me or to be released into something. And so I just learned how to do that by faith. And then over time, I began to see and encounter, you know, the heavenly hosts that are there, the ones that Father wanted me to see and interact with. And so, you know, again, by keeping that yes in my heart, not giving up, not feeling, because inevitably what I think many of you may have already encountered a lot of this by now, but as you begin to press into these things and things aren't changing, you're not seeing, you're not hearing, you're not discerning, or you know, whatever that may look like for you personally, is by keeping that yes in your heart. It's like, Lord, I know that this is real. I know this is for me. And I know that this is what you want for me. So I'm not going to give up, and I'm going to keep engaging. I'm going to keep inquiring of you about these things. And to me, it's that, you know, I think for us, the problem with many of us is that we are adults now. And we have forgotten what it means to be a child. We have forgotten how to be childlike. And we really, really, really are going to have to be childlike to come into these things and, you know, become curious and inquisitive again and ask the questions. I mean, it's, you know, it's there in the Gospels where it says, ask, seek, and knock. And, you know, so whatever that revelation is that you've heard, you know, that thing that you've heard Mike share or someone else share about, you know, whatever that is pertaining to the things of heaven, you know, that I'll go ahead and say this now, is learn how to follow the desire that's being stirred up in your heart. So you might hear, let's say you've listened to a plethora of podcasts and teachings from multiple people, but you keep coming back to that one. There's that one topic. There's that one thing that you keep hearing somebody talk about. And it's like, you know, you keep being drawn to that. Well, learn how to follow that desire that's being stirred up, because that's really the Spirit of God in you stirring up that desire for you to begin to seek that out for yourself. And so I would encourage you to learn how to, you know, I would just say I've got 20 irons in the fire, and but my desire is locked in on this one particular thing or truth. And so that's the one I'm going to focus on right now until I know that the substance and the reality of that truth has become real to me and it's mine. It's not me just quoting or parroting someone's revelation about something. It's like I've spent the time in the secret place and, you know, in my time with God and seeking this out and inquiring of him and encountering something in the spirit pertaining to it where I know this reality is mine. And so when that happens for you and I, now there's going to be substance. There's going to be, when you share that with someone, you know, after you have made that revelation your own, then when you share that with someone, they're going to be able to, it's literally like you now have the seed of that to be able to sow into someone's heart because you're walking in the reality and the substance of that. So now you have seed that you can give. But if we're not walking in that, then basically all we're doing is it's just the mind of man. And there's really little to no spirit on the mind of man. And it's just knowledge for the sake of knowledge. So there's not going to be a whole lot of life that's going to come from that. And so with that said, then another realization as you probably many of you have encountered this by now, even in, you know, some of your own experiences in the church where you have just an encounter with God or God does something unusual with you and you share it with someone and it gets blasted, it gets shot down, it gets like, that's the devil or whatever. I'm sure many of you have had those kind of experiences by now, but if you haven't, well then bless you. And I pray that you never do, but so this is another truth or another, I guess, another dynamic to realize in this is God is giving you these truths as as you begin to take the time to press in and to sit with him and to seek these things out, you really are, you're discovering that pearl of great price. You're discovering the hidden kingdom. And so why would you offer that to just anyone? You know, so I would encourage you to, you know, this is something else that we have to learn how to do is just, and God taught me this in the bookstore is just when, cause in the bookstore we had, I was encountering all kind of people from all denominations across the city and different places with God and obviously just theology and just wherever they were at. And so the Holy Spirit really helped me to learn how to, allow the hunger and the thirst that was in that person in front of me to allow that hunger in them to pull out of me. If there was something in me that God wanted to release to them, then Holy Spirit was teaching me how to let their hunger pull out of me what would feed them, that little morsel, that little, you know, that little bit of truth that would encourage them or challenge them or whatever, but it wouldn't be too much. You know, it wouldn't overwhelm them. It wouldn't, offend them or cause them to judge. You know, because a lot of times, unfortunately, that's what happens is we offer things to people and they're not ready for it. And then they actually, they end up judging what God's doing. And so it's just not a good thing for that to happen. And so, so I think one more thing to throw out there is, the one thing I realized early on is for you and I to realize, all right, for one, you have an inheritance, all right? So if there was anything, I guess, to encourage you to begin to do, I would definitely begin to encourage you to ask the Father about your inheritance. Because this is one of the words that he gave me back in 2010 was, he said, a new day is dawning in the earth. I'm waking up my sons to ascend into my hill, to receive their inheritance, to occupy the land so that the restoration of all things can take place. So the three things out of that word that I share with people is one, you have an inheritance to obtain in the kingdom of heaven. So there's an inheritance that you need. I would encourage you to begin to inquire of the Lord about receiving your inheritance and, receiving what is rightfully yours, what has rightfully been given to you in Christ. Okay. And one of those pieces of your inheritance is your soul. your soul, God wants to bring complete restoration to your soul. So a picture of your soul, a picture of the soul is when God was bringing the Israelites into the land and he said, I cannot give you all of the land because the beasts of the field would consume you. It'd be too much for you to handle if I was to give you everything. So, and we've seen this pattern play out in my own life and a lot of the people that are here with All Things Restored and encountering the restoration of the soul. And so it's like, you know, the example would be, let's say right now, let's say the fullness of your soul is 1,000 acres. Well, let's say right now you're only occupying 200 of those acres. So in the realm of the spirit and your soul, you're occupying approximately 200 acres of land. And so as you begin to seek this out and God begins to bring restoration into your soul, you will, then he's going to bring rest into, let's say, another 50 acres. So now you went from 200 acres to 250 acres, maybe even 300 acres, you know, so it's more of your soul is entering into rest, and that rest is going to, that rest equates to responsibility. So I can't stress that enough. I mean, that's another whole topic in and of itself is the responsibility that we're saying yes to blindly. I mean, you know, cause we don't know what this looks like. And so again, going back to the vision, you have an inheritance that is rightfully yours. There is land for you to occupy. And there's a portion for all of us. It's very clear to me that in that word, Father God made it very clear that you and I, as a son that is manifesting and manifested, that he is ordained and he is destined each one of us to co-labor with him in a measure of the restoration of all things. So there's a measure, there's a portion for you that has been purposed for you specifically to co-labor with God and just, you know, so he's destined something for you to restore in creation. And so again, there's, I trust as you begin to walk this out, your question is only going to lead to more questions. And the other thing that's been modeled for us in the church concerning that particular dynamic about asking questions is the church unfortunately has modeled for us what to think and what not to think instead of inquiring of the Lord, having a relationship with God for ourselves and asking him the questions. You know, we've been taught to ask a man or a woman of authority about this or that, and then they're the final say instead of, well, no, I have a relationship with Father, Son, and Spirit, and I'm going to ask them the question, and then I trust they're going to give me the answer. And then inevitably, I believe that he'll bring confirmation a lot of times with certain things through another witness, you know, through another person might bring a prophetic word or a bearing witness to what you know God has revealed to you or spoken to you about. And then he uses someone else to bring confirmation to, you know, just to give you just that boost of confidence and assurance to know that that's what he's saying and that's what he has for you and for you to just to go for it and to not hold back. And so, yeah, that's been a lot of our journey, so far. And it's, you know, I would encourage you just, again, there's just to keep the yes in your heart and learn how to begin to discern, you know, what Holy Spirit, what God is revealing to you. And then once you discern, just for you to have the confidence and the boldness to go for it. And that hopefully, you know, you're in a group of people. See, now this is the other thing that has happened here with us here at All Things Restored is we're not afraid to talk about anything. You know, we actually have it's called Rabbit Hole. And it's like, we do a monthly meeting where like once a month, the core group of us will get together. And that's where we talk about all the crazy out there stuff that we may not get into on Saturday nights. And this way we have an opportunity together to where we can ask questions, dialogue, have a conversation about it and pray about it. And then just, you know, we've established a safe place for all of us to, you know, just ask the hard questions, ask the crazy questions, just, you know, cause we're wanting to, our heart is to pursue and know God and to come into the reality of the things of the kingdom of what he's doing today. So we, again, I've been really encouraged with a lot of the fruit that has begun to be evidenced in people's lives. And I would just say, be patient with yourself. It's, you know, there's just going to be some things that you and I are going to have to hear several times because it's confronting, you know, just something traditional, something religious, something, a mindset that is contrary to the kingdom and the truth of the kingdom or the truth of whatever that is that we're hearing. And it's our mind being renewed to that truth. And so, you know, just because truth has a resonance, truth has a sound. And so hopefully many of you know how to discern. It's like, I know that person is speaking truth. I don't know what they're talking about yet, but I know that's truth. I believe there's truth in that. And so I'm going to hold on to that. And so again, unfortunately, another thing the church has taught us what to do is to judge things out of fear too quickly and to not take the time to inquire of the Lord for ourselves. And so this is what we kind of share with people when we're talking about new things from time to time, that, you know, we'll bring up that very thing is don't judge it too quickly, because the church has taught us to judge primarily out of fear of just unknowing or whatever. But the bottom line is it's because of fear. It's not true discernment by the Spirit of truth, discerning. No, this is of God. I may not understand it, but I know this is God. So, and even if there's something that you don't get an answer about yet, then I encourage people to put it on their God shelf or to put, you know, whatever shelf you want to call that, and just to set it off to the side. And until he speaks to you about that, I would encourage you not to judge it. And only until he comes to you and it reveals to you that it's like, that is not me, that is not of me, and that's not what I have for you, then, you know, he's made it clear where he stands with that. So now it's just you and I coming into agreement with, okay, Father, I just released that and I let go of that. And I just thank you for revealing the truth to me. And so I think I'll close with this scripture. This was I think this will be a key for all of us as we continue to walk this out. And I think I'll wrap it up with this one last scripture. So with that yes in our heart, you know, that yes in our heart is we're just desiring the things of Father God, and we're just going to wait. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm, you know, cause I'm pursuing him and I'm pursuing the things of the kingdom. And, you know, even today, I still don't know what that looks like. I still don't have a full picture. And my questions only lead to more questions. And the more that he reveals to me, the more I realize that I don't know anything. So it's been an amazing journey. But this one last scripture that I'll leave with you, and then I think Mike was going to try and do maybe a question and answer or something, but we'll see, is in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 10. It's talking about the lawless one and Satan and delusion, and because the people didn't love the truth. And so it's in verse 10, and it says, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved, and for this reason God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. So the truth to take out of that scripture is to keep that love and desire in your heart for the truth, trusting and knowing that God is going to give you, he's going to bear witness with your heart. He's going to speak to you about it. Cause I am so convinced by now that God wants us to know the truth more than we want to know it. And so inevitably a lot of times he's ultimately waiting on us to get to that place where another thing that we've learned in this is until you are asking the right question, you're not ready to know the truth that you're seeking. So again, whereas the church has told us rotely, believe this, don't believe that, you know, this is truth, this is not truth, instead of having, you know, critical thinking and I'm going to inquire of the Lord and I'm going to seek this out. And then it's like, so the right question is what's going to unlock the reality of that truth to you and I. So when we can ask the right question, then we're ready to steward the truth. And I'm sorry, there's one last thing. There's one last scripture that just came to my mind that goes with the truth. And it's in John 16, and it's where Jesus says, you know, I have much to say to you, but you cannot bear it. So the Holy Spirit's going to come to you and reveal all truth to you. But the point I want to stress to all of us is that even now, right now, today, there is truth that I am not ready to bear yet. I'm not ready to steward, and I'm not ready to bear the truth of something pertaining to him, the reality of the kingdom or something that, you know, there's just something that I haven't asked the right question about. And there's something that I'm not ready to bear yet. And so it's just that continued pursuit of him and trusting him and knowing that he's the one that's orchestrating this. He's the one that's waking up his sons. He's the one that's offering the invitation to every one of us that has ears to hear and eyes to see. And for all of us to come in and to take our place. And just to begin to walk this out with him. And so, you know, thank you for letting me share with you all today. It's a blessing and an honor to get to do it. And I just bless you in your pursuit and in your journey, both individually and corporately there as a body. And even for the region of God's desire and all that he wants to do in your midst there in that region and in the state as well. And so I just bless you and just thank you.
Okay. So hey, you did a great job. Thank you. I'm going to go ahead and let you see us. I was going to do this earlier, but I was upstairs. Can you see him? Wave to him. Okay, so. What's that?
All of you great souls. Okay.
All of us great.
That's what I'm trying. Here?
Yeah.
Go ahead and say it again. We're trying something. We're holding the mic. That ain't gonna work. there's a couple of technical issues we still need to work out.
So you need to ask a question, I guess.
Okay, I'm gonna check and see if anybody wants to ask a question, so bear with me for a second. Okay, does anyone have a question for Sean? Anyone? No one? Yes, no?
I'm just more curious about the safe place with Jesus.
Okay, well, that's a question.
Okay, sure.
Alrighty. Yeah, it's our friend Paula. Okay. So it's our friend Paula And I think one thing for a lot of people to wrestle with, or they're going to have to wrestle this out, is we've been taught that the imagination is evil, demonic, or whatever. And it really isn't. It's a God given attribute to us. And, you know, inevitably there might be some cleansing that we need to do of our imagination, but the imagination is a doorway into the realm of the spirit. And so our friend Paula uses, a lot of times she'll have people start by seeing a rose, and then, you know, they'll describe the rose. And then from there, they'll move into, they might see a beach or a mountain or a meadow or whatever. And then at that point is where she asks Jesus to come and to, begin to interact with them. And so to me, it's a really awesome way of ministering, because it facilitates an encounter with Jesus for the person. And then they can begin to, everything is orchestrated by what they're seeing and hearing and perceiving, you know, of Jesus doing within them. And it's not being, you know, there's no like suggesting or leading or anything like that by the counselor or people there. It's that person's own individual encounter with Jesus and what he's wanting to do with them in that moment, you know, what they're able to bear. Again, it goes back to that scripture, you know, there's a truth that I may not be able to bear. And like an example of that is my wife. She was adopted as an infant. And so the Lord had to, she's had to overcome just abandonment, victim mentality, just a lot of things that she's had to overcome in her life. And the Lord took her through a season of almost like 4 years where, if most of you are familiar with the Jonathan David Heltzer song with Graham Cooke, that he says, "I love you because I love you because I love you because I love you." And, that was all she listened to. And she then 4 years after that, or, you know, at the end of the 4 years, the Lord healed a place in her of, that was a very deep place, but the Lord had to prepare her for that, or she wouldn't have been able to really handle, just the healing and the deliverance that God was wanting to do. So he actually had to build her up some in the spirit and, in that truth of that he loved her. So.
Okay. We can talk about a little bit more. Again, it says in the scriptures that I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stay on thee. That word in the Hebrew is imagination.
What I was going to tell you is that when I was in rehab.
Okay, hang on. When you were in.
When I was in rehab as a teenager,
uh-huh.
Drug rehab, we had a counselor who was a Christian who led us in that kind of meditation.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
And I didn't know it then because I use it with my husband when his mind is, you know, just going and to help him, you know, settle.
Right. Can I put him? Okay. Hang on a second.
So it's just interesting. That's why I was curious.
There. Okay.
It's interesting to hear that they're okay. Actually using that.
Gotcha. The Vicky, who asked that question when she was how long ago? 16, she was actually in a situation where someone was using that technique. And so she had never heard it before again. So that's why she was very curious. And I told her that, you know, the imagination is the word yetzer that's used in Isaiah, where it says, I will keep him in perfect peace whose imagination is stayed on me. So, okay. Anyone else have any questions? Any kind of questions? Did you hear that, Sean? There's a question that's they're asking about the difference between a husband and wife in this journey, and one maybe being in, you know, where they're seeing and experiencing, and another one's just, you know, saying, I don't get it, but I'm hungry for the Lord. I want what God has. So could you kind of address that for a moment?
Yeah. Well, the one thing that I've learned is, Are most folks familiar with Paul Cox or Arthur Burt? Because they,
Oops, sorry.
guys are walking an amazing gift of discernment. As far as a husband and wife go, you know, I would say to the one that is encountering all the things is just, I guess to know how to be encouraging and affirming in the things that they're encountering. And I would say one thing that I've learned is with not seeing in the realm of the kingdom, for one, we can discern the realm of the kingdom without seeing. So, you know, for the husband or wife that may not be encountering the things, seeing them yet, that's not to say that they couldn't discern that they are on the sea of glass or discern that there's an angelic host around right now that's wanting to do something, you know? So I know, like, for me, sometimes I wouldn't see like angels or elders that were coming, but there would be like a blowtorch on my left leg. And then I would discern by this heat that was going off on my leg that somebody was close. Somebody had just showed up. And then I would inquire of the spirit and I would ask the question and then I would listen. I would wait and I would listen. And then inevitably I would hear them speak. I would hear them say their name. I would hear them say why they are here. And then I would just respond appropriately to what I heard them saying to me. So I try not to, I believe ultimately that we can all, seeing in the spirit to me is not a gift. It's just a spiritual sense, and there can be multiple reasons for it to be shut down. Like unbelief is a huge one. We've learned that spiritual authority, both our parents and spiritual authority in our lives, can shut that down because, you know, probably many of us have heard when we were little, you know, we were sharing things and a parent said, oh, that's not real. That's just your imagination. That's fantasy. When in fact, I'm fully convinced when we were infants, we were still seeing in the realm of the spirit and we were encountering both realms when we were little. And then at some point the enemy's just able to shut all that down. And then we become conformed to this world and we forget where we're from. So, you know, again, for me, I wasn't seeing anything when all of this started. And then I just began to engage by faith, acknowledging, you know, who's here. And then I wasn't seeing my seat of rest. I said, Father, today I take my place in my seat of rest and I blah, 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 blah. And I wasn't seeing anything. And then after a while, I started seeing stuff. So I know the more that we can engage with, let's say that the heavenly hosts that are around our life, the more that we can become aware that they're around, I believe at some point you and I will begin to either see them and just become more sensitive to their presence because we have chosen to become aware of who's around us. Right. And so we're not, we're just learning how to be at peace just be at peace, just listening and waiting on the Lord and just discerning what's going on in and around us and just becoming more aware and sensitive to the realm of the spirit.
Okay. Okay. That was good. Thanks, Sean. Does anyone else have any questions? Jesse has a question. Okay, this is our sound man Jesse is asking this. Should he be concerned at all about hearing from an angel? Based on the fact that there's an example given in the Old Testament.
Of a prophet being given specific instructions by the Lord.
Of a prophet being given specific instructions by the Lord. And another false prophet saying, I heard from an angel,
do this instead,
and it cost the prophets his life. Yeah.
In the New Testament,
another stern warning in the New Testament.
Wasn't the Apostle Paul?
Apostle Paul.
Right. If you hear any other gospel other than from Christ.
Did you hear that? If you hear any other gospel other than from Christ.
Even an angel,
or myself, he says. Don't go there. So
he's basically saying, he's playing the devil's advocate and saying, okay.
Yeah, tell him I have no trouble with, you know, imagining being seated in heavenly places.
He has no trouble imagining being seated in heavenly places.
Coming before the Lord.
And coming before the Lord.
And maybe getting to converse with my Savior himself.
And even conversing with his Savior himself, which is a long, which he's come a long ways. And we all have to even say that. Okay, so yeah, so what about being deceived by, you know, someone that's saying they're an angel to you, but they're not? So his question is, how do we keep from being deceived by these potentials, you know, pitfalls that are out there if you're engaging with the heavenlies? I have kind of an answer, but I want to hear your answer, okay?
Ready?
Okay, ready.
Hang on.
I would say for each person, you know, it can look different, but, you know, over time, I mean, the Bible asks us to, admonishes us to, you know, test the spirits. So early on, you know, I was definitely doing that and just asking, who are you? Where are you from? Why are you here? Do you serve, you know, is Jesus Christ your Lord? You know, is Jesus Christ the King whom you serve? You know, you can come up with different questions that would be a way of having that angel or whoever it is in the spirit that you're interacting with to, you know, give you a peace, knowing that they've come from out of the throne room or the presence of God, and that they've come with, you know, a message for you. They want to give you something, a gift, you know, whatever it is that angel in this sense, in this question, has been sent. So I know for me, early on, that's, you know, I had, you know, who are you, where are you from, why are you here? And then a lot of times you will be able to, as you interact with them more and more, I believe that you will be able to discern, like even now, most of you could probably say the presence, you know, you could say the presence of the Lord is here, or no, I'm just not feeling the Lord's presence right now. I don't believe. So I think most of you probably you've discerned the presence of the Lord as to what that feels like to you. Right. And so for me, that's been another way for me to discern who it is that I'm interacting with, because I'm discerning the presence of the Lord resonating off of them, which within that presence, within that the presence of the Lord that's resonating off of this angel, you know, I'm feeling loved, I'm feeling peace, I'm feeling security. Whereas other times I've encountered other things in darkness that are resonating anger, rage, just all the stuff that you would anticipate or think about that's resonating in darkness. So that, to me, that's been one of the other ways that I've learned how to discern who I'm interacting with, is discerning what are they resonating? You know, are they resonating the presence of God, or are they resonating something out of darkness? And so, yes, I would encourage everyone to, you know, not be too quick to interact with them, and just make sure that you've asked, you know, that, you know, this one is from the Lord. And they're just here to give you something, to speak to you about something. And, you know, 'cause it says in Hebrews that they're here to minister to us. You know, these flames of fire, these servants of the Lord, these angels are here to minister to those that are receiving the inheritance, which is us. And so, these angels are here to serve us a lot of times, to do different things on our behalf, or waiting for us to release them into a specific assignment. So again, just take the time to, you know, figure out the questions that you feel good about, that, you know, it's just pretty simple. Is Jesus your King? Do you serve Jesus, or who is it that you serve? And then just go forward from there. And then I want to add too, that just because, you know, we're talking to an angel or we're interacting with an angel, in no way, shape, or form is that you or I worshiping an angel. You know, just because we're talking or interacting with them does not mean that we're worshiping with them. And I've had to we've had people say that to us as well. And it's just, it's, you know, it's not true. It's, these angels are here to interact with us. And as we manifest as sons, it's just, we're constantly redefining what does normal mean, because it's normal is getting redefined every day.
Normal is getting redefined every day. So we have a few folks here that are really new to the faith. Some have returned recently. Some are brand new to the faith. And so this is way out there for quite a few of them. But Pastor, my wife asked if you could, to them, leave them with one final encouraging word, just knowing that they're not in the day that maybe some of them were when they were here previous, or that they're stepping into the Christian faith right now in a tremendous season. How would you give them an encouraging word to press forward and maybe not tomorrow expect to see everything that you're talking about, but to have a yes or an expectancy in their heart for the greater things that Jesus talks about.
Yeah, I guess I would just, one, encourage you to just daily pursue knowing the Father, knowing Jesus, knowing the Holy Spirit, knowing the Godhead, and cultivating a relationship with them personally. And, you know, because all of this that I'm talking to you about, is the only way any of this is going to happen for any of us is by relationship. It's not because we've memorized the whole Bible. We've got a whole library full of the latest charismatic books. It's only going to be by relationship. So the more that you just cultivate that in your life and just focus on Him and let him orchestrate what He wants that to look like. You know, and not to compare yourself to others, not to, you know, well, this person's this or that. It's, don't get caught up in that kind of thinking, but just live in the grace. Like even now today, Father has a grace for you, for where you're at, for your growth process. Like some of you probably could like blaze the trail tomorrow. Others, it's just going to take a little bit more time. You might move a little bit more slowly, and there's grace for both people. There's grace for all of us, no matter where we're at. And so, I would just encourage you again. Oh, the bottom line is just as you've come back into the faith and are beginning to recultivate, you know, your own personal walk with Jesus, is just getting to know Him intimately and personally, and letting Him begin to just awaken you to not only the knowledge of Him, but the things of the kingdom as he wants you to come into them, you know, and just letting Him lead, guide, and direct you, and just enjoying the journey, no matter what. Just enjoy what He's doing in your life. Enjoy, just His love for you, the grace that He has upon your life, just learning how to rest in Him where you're at. And, yeah, and just enjoying the fact that you know the one who created you, and you are living in an exciting day, and it is a good day to come back into the church. And I just pray that for all of you, that you will begin to just encounter not only the King, but His kingdom as well, and just all that He has for you.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you, Sean. Really appreciate your time and your heart, and it's been good seeing you again. We'll have to catch up again soon, so you be blessed, and just know that you've sown a seed here today that I'm sure will help some and challenge others, including myself. Okay? Bless you, brother. Okay. Bye-bye. Okay, that was different, huh? Again, he was in Jacksonville, Florida. That was Sean Killingsworth. And He has a website, All Things Restored, and he has some audios and stuff you can listen to. He doesn't do a whole lot of audios. Basically, you can see that they're very more like interactive, and that's really kind of hard to do online. But he does have some good things. So let me just close in prayer, and we'll have Joe and Christine up here for anybody who has needs in their body. I have a need in my body. I actually was running this line, so we were hardwired back for the internet now. That's why we were confident to be able to do this. And I was up in that corner there on a ladder, and I did something stupid, and I was pulling something out that was an anchor, and it gave, and then when it gave, I gave, and I came flying down and landed on, I was like hovering in midair trying to, do I want to hit the floor? Do I want to hit the chair? And so I hit my leg on one of these chairs, and it slowed me down. And really, this happened Thursday, and I'm amazed at how the Lord's been healing it. But hi, I'm going to receive full healing now. Amen. But healing again, not just for our bodies, but for our hearts and our souls and, you know, emotions and past things, that can all be available too. So were you going to say something else? Gay's going to clarify.
I just have a sense that I just need to say that no matter where we are personally as a person, hi, buddy, that the growth that God has for us can be, but should not be, overwhelming. It can be because we become involved in it, meaning, you know, ourself. But God does not want to overwhelm us. So if there are things that you're not understanding, come to one of us. Go to the Lord. Ask him to clarify. Remember, he said, this is just a relationship. That's what it's about. And I believe that the church today, and this is the church in general, I believe the church today is knowing God like we've never known God before. And how that looks for each one of us may be very different, but the outcome is the same. We get closer to him. That's the goal. And so if any thoughts came up or questions or anything, don't hesitate to ask. Don't hesitate to go to the Lord in prayer. Just do what you need to do. And like he said, and it was a very good admonishment, don't compare yourself to somebody else. Like, oh, they know all about it. Look at, they're nodding. They're saying, yes, I get it. And I don't get a thing. Don't allow yourself to become overwhelmed by that, because each one of us are at a different place in our growth. Each one of us are at a different place in relationship with God. And I always liken it to a marriage. Like, some are just recently married in the honeymoon stage. She can do no wrong and neither can he, but we all know that they can, you know what I'm saying? And the honeymoon stage gets over and then we really get into life. It's the same thing with our Christian faith and with God. Some of us have been with God for a while and some have not, and some that have not may be way ahead of us that have been. I mean, it's just truly about relationship and how fast we want our relationship with God to grow. So don't be overwhelmed and ask questions.
Yeah, and keeping a yes in your heart may not take you to where you're going to, you know, engage with angels tomorrow, but keeping a yes in your heart may mean that you say yes to the Lord about something that he's been asking you for a long time, and you go, you know what, Lord, I am going to say yes to this, and who knows where that will take you. But just know that that the whole point of the yes in our heart today, and why I wanted Sean to share, is that I wanted us to realize that God is doing some things all over, that we as a small body haven't been the only one challenged with our thought processes, that it's been all over the earth. And Sean and many others are out there like that, where they weren't necessarily looking for something, but God said, hey, I know your heart, you're hungry, so let me show you my reality. Again, I thought it was interesting it happened to him in 2010. Huh, Joe? Joe has a 2010 experience, which he may share sometime. So, Father, we thank you for this time together, and Lord,
Just as we said earlier, Lord, you are holy. Your name is holy. And we hallow your name this morning. And Lord, I pray that what has been shared here today, Lord, what is of you and ready that we can hold it, like Sean said, that we're ready for it, Lord, that we can take it and produce fruit. And what is not, Lord, that we can put on a shelf and realize, God, that you are the one that is bigger and more wider in scope than we can even think or imagine. And that's not just in when we get to heaven, Lord. It pertains to our life in you now. And so we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So praise the Lord. I'm going to get prayer.